So when you are forming a syndicate, you've got several choices you need to make. And these are things that you're going to decide with your corporate securities counsel. What state are you forming the entities in? Which state's going to, you're forming the entity that'll take title? What state are you forming the management entity? What percent interests are, is the management and syndicator keeping? And what portion are they selling off to their investors? What is the minimum dollar amount that you could possibly raise and still close on this deal, even if you loaned some of your own money or borrowed from your parents in order to get it closed? What's the maximum dollar amount you would like to have that's sufficient to close the deal comfortably, give you all the reserves you need, and maybe even a little bit of a cushion so that if you discover something after you get into the property that you didn't know about before, you've still got sufficient money or you can raise additional money to be able to handle that without having to go back to your investors and do a capital call. So maximum dollar amount. The minimum purchase, that's what's the minimum amount that an investor has to invest before you're going to allow them in their deal. And you're going to set a minimum dollar amount, usually somewhere around $50,000 is very typical. So you can set it less if you want to. On a smaller deal, it might be okay to take $25,000 investments. On a bigger deal, you're going to want to go $50,000 or maybe even $100,000. Depends on how much experience you have as a syndicator and who you know. A lot of that is dependent on that. Right? How long are you going to own the property? We don't like to state a specific number because if you say 5 years, then there will be investors that have a plan for that money at 5 years and one day. And if you don't give it back to them at that exact time, then they're going to be upset. We state a range. And so the range might be somewhere 3 to 5 years, 3 to 7 years, something like that. And then we're always going to say that that's subject to market conditions. Or if you get a phenomenal offer before that, you could take that too. What's the exit strategy? How are you going to dispose of that property? Are you going to sell it? Are you going to convert it to condos? Are you going to 1031 exchange it for another property? What is your investment group going to do to get rid of that property, and what are the imagined strategies for that? What kind of investors do you think are going to work for this particular property? Are you going to use equity? Are you going to use some debt investors? Are you going to use any private lenders? Or maybe both. And then what are you going to offer those investors? Are you just going to split with them? When I say straight split, I mean, you know, are you going to split the money with them 60-40 or 50-50? What are you going to offer those investors? Or are you going to go with that preferred return scenario? So what kind of offering documents are you going to need in order to be able to do this? So we talked about disclosures, that the 1933 Securities Act said that you had to disclose to your investors all the risks of being in the investment and the different ways that they might lose their money or not get their money back, or not get the return that you've offered. So that's, we put that into a document called a private placement memorandum. Private placement memorandum, otherwise known as a PPM. And so that actual document follows a prescribed format that the SEC has put out in something called Guide 5, which is what the SEC says you have to do for a real estate prospectus. So if some of you are more familiar with that term, prospectus or offering circular, then that also is what you might hear that referred to as. So the PPM. Attached to that PPM, we put all these other things as attachments because that is the main document. So we have some kind of an investment agreement. It's either going to be a promissory note or we're going to have the investment contract, whether that's going to be a limited partnership agreement or an operating agreement for an LLC or some other type of agreement. So you're going to have an investor agreement. That is the contractual document between the management team and the investors. And that's the thing that if something goes wrong with this deal, that's the one that would surface and go to court if you ever had, if there was ever a dispute. We're going to do a subscription agreement. This is where the investor tells you about themselves. So they certify to the syndicator that they have read all of the information, that the syndicator provided. They've gotten all the legal, tax, or other advice that they thought was relevant to their understanding and their decision to invest. And they understand they could lose their money. They're going to invest anyway, and here's how much. So that's the subscription agreement. This is an insurance policy for you. The investment summary. This is the document that you write that talks about all the different things that you plan to do with the property. Tells them about the property, where it's located, what it's like, what kind of geographic area, where, you know, all the particulars about the property. If you're buying a specific property, then it will tell them about the projections. You know, this is what we're buying it at. Here's what we think we're going to be able to do with it. You might show them historical operating financials or whatever your coach suggests you should include in that document. So we like this to be a standalone document that can be shared with your investors independent of these documents, because these comprise about 120 pages of legal documents. So before you go hitting your investors with that, we'd like you to show them a 15-page or so investment summary that has some sizzle to it and gets them excited about the deal, and then they can decide whether they want to see the legal documents. If they say, yes, we like this deal, show us the legal documents, then you send them the legal documents. But you shouldn't be sending out your investment summary until your corporate securities attorney has reviewed it, because they will probably make some changes to it. They might not like some of the things you said. Maybe they might be red flags for the SEC, or they might, you know, question how you've got your structure. They're going to have some input on how that deal is structured, and that's going to be relevant to what you put in that investment summary. Any other supporting documents? These are documents that you generate during your due diligence for the property. So those are things that you're going to compile while your attorneys are drafting the legal documents. Again, this process takes about 3 to 4 weeks, so you need to plan for that when you've got your properties under contract, right? And then the securities attorney is going to do the Form D filings, and the state securities they would do the Form D filings right away when the offering is done. So this all comprises your offering package. Offering package. Securities offering package. And then your SEC, your securities attorney will handle your state securities notices, but you probably won't do those until you're ready to close on the property, because you won't know where your investors are from until you've raised all the money, and then you'll let your securities attorney know where they need to file those notices. And again, you only have 15 days to get those filed in order to get the claim the exemption in those states, so you need to be aware of that. So what's a PPM? We've kind of talked about the disclosure document. It discloses all the material facts. It really just tells the story of your deal. That's it. It explains what's going on. The important thing about a PPM, and this is why you always want to have one, is it shifts the risk of loss from you to the investor. Because if something that you describe to the investors as one of the potential risks happens at the property, you're not responsible for it, because they actually bought into that and said, we understood that was a risk and we bought in anyway. If you didn't tell them about it, then you didn't have a PPM, then they could say, well, we didn't understand that that could have happened, and if we'd understood that could have happened, then we would not have invested. And that's what you're trying to circumvent by having that PPM. That's why it's so important. So how will you market your offering? That's going to be what we're going to talk about in the next segment. So you can use a traditional family and friends. You could sell it through a broker-dealer. You can use the internet, email marketing campaigns, or crowdfunding. You've all heard about crowdfunding. We'll talk about that in the next segment. So that really is the end of this segment. And I thank you all for listening. And I know that this can be a little bit difficult. I think the next segment will be a little more engaging. So stick with me. Don't skip it. It's important stuff. And keep this as a reference. We don't want you to become a securities attorney, but we want you to understand that you can use securities laws to your advantage in order to raise money. And the more confidence you have that you understand them, then the less scared you're going to be to go out and talk to investors, because you're going to know you're following the rules And your seasoned investors are already familiar with these rules. So you need to be familiar with them, or they're going to ask you questions. And if you don't know the answers, then you might shy away some investors. So thank you so much for listening today.